The Powers of Grayskull is now brought to you by Chicago, Illinois.
All right.
Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 88th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise. Still, he's still here, guys. It's TFG and Mike. Hello.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
But the question is, in that serious shit, are you ready for enough serious shit to get us to another trip to space?
This is heavy.
So in this episode of Masters in Space, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes in the series. Episode 16, Cracking the World. Episode 17, Escape from Galatia, or Galatia, or Galotia, something like that. And episode 18, He-Man Mutant. So we hope you're ready. It's time, whether you like it or not, to go back to space.
Could it really have hurt them to put He-Man is a mutant? I mean, is an A does not make that title any longer than what, like, He-Man...
Sound effects brought to you by TFG and Mike.
Yeah, I try.
I am He-Man. Call She-Ra and me at 1-900-909-2233.
We'll journey to distant worlds, explore the universe,
and probably battle Skeletor along the way, huh?
Probably, Orko. There's a new adventure every day. We'll also tell you how to get an action figure or this colorful poster. Get your parents' permission and call 1-900-909-2233.
I have the power!
First up is episode 16, Crack in the World. Did they not want to put A in that one either? A Crack in the World? Just Crack in the World. Around October 12th, 1990, so it was probably a Monday episode, written by Tony Zalewski.
Finally, a different writer.
Different writer, Tony Zalewski. That means we're also done with the 5 or 6 episode arc that we had previously, so it's on to a new episode standalone. Skeletor unleashes an extraordinary power that could destroy the whole of Primus. While the inhabitants of Primus begin with an evacuation, a large battle between He-Man and Skeletor begins. Very generic as far as that description goes, but what do you think about Cracking the World on this, now that we're done with that other episode, getting into some random episodes?
It was okay. It's still not good, but it's not as god-awful as some of the other episodes to this point. There is one moment in this where I'm like, oh hell no, I'm just done. But other than that, the story was fairly well done. Skeletor in his different roles during this episode was great, as always, as he is. The fact that He-Man's not in this much kind of pisses me off. And the fact that it says that it's a key episode for He-Man and no, He-Man was barely in this in the first, like, 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Because the first 10 minutes is all the scientist bull.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah. No. This is the one where they capture all the Skeletor, the scientists.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. They just capture all the scientists, and they're gonna give them an award.
Yeah.
Except. One of the guys an award so that they could later, you know, kind of hone in on him and use him because he's going to be frustrated and whatnot, etc., etc. Mm. I already made my feelings known about the scientist, so now we have an episode that is mostly revolving around them.
Yeah.
Not good for me. You know how last week's episodes where I was like, you know, they don't have any of the
middle ground for you, yeah.
Well, no, just the whole part about the, you know, it doesn't. The show so far doesn't have characters that resonate with me or that I'm interested in. Doesn't have any wow factor. Doesn't have anything that's like really great from a voice acting standpoint outside of He-Man and Skeletor. So it doesn't have a lot of stuff going for it. Now you take the continuity and the arc out of that as well. What am I left with? I'm left with annoying scientists that I don't like to listen to and a plot that's a one-off. So this episode's not going to do much for me. Unless it was phenomenally executed.
I mean, you know, why don't we just jump over to the palace? Because the Skeletor is the... I knew immediately it was Campbell Lane doing the robot voice. Because I figured Skeletor would be running that robot. I thought that was really cool. And I love Skeletor and Flog's interactions so far in this episode. I thought that was really cool.
Skeletor could be in Captain Planet.
Yes, he could, but...
Skeletor.
Yeah, but, you know, Dr. Blight, she's not really an Evelyn kind of material.
Skeletor could be something like, you know, tar and oil and stuff like that. And, I think that would fit.
Yeah, 2 weeks of Captain Planet references from Optimus Solo people. Can you tell what our next podcast project is going to be?
No, it's not. I'm here.
Planet Punks Reborn!
It would not be Captain Planet. I did think the Skeletor versus He-Man was pretty cool. The interaction fight slash between them and whatnot, if we're getting into the good moments, that's all I had.
Yeah.
But Snake Mountain moment, He-Man just is like willingly going to give up.
Yeah, no.
Like, Sorceress has to talk him out of it.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's weak, He-Man. You're not my He-Man. Not your daddy's He-Man.
Hashtag not my He-Man. Yeah, that's right.
We worked that
out. Yeah. Okay, so Snake Mountain moments, Energon. Hello! Transformers came up with Energon, you morons! Get it! Look, I get it. Energon is just a name. I get that the actual thing did something that Energon doesn't do, but I assume it's spelled E-N-E-R-G-O-N. That's fucking Energon.
And that's
how I spelled it as well. I put the dash in there, but still, if you take the dash out and you lowercase the damn G, it's Energon. God damn it, Megatron, you ought to sue.
It's like when we want something and it's gonna take their energy away. Let's make it energy gone. Let's make it energy.
Yeah, oh God.
Oh, that sounds like energy.
Yep. And an episode focusing on the damn scientists again. No, thank you. Nope. Not even.
Well, are we jumping right into Haberstass and Power Sword, sir?
Yeah, pretty much.
I have two.
Okay.
I have a Haberstass for He-Man for trying to give up.
Okay.
And a Power Sword for Sorceress for apparently if she doesn't exist, He-Man fails.
Yeah.
So you need her, I guess.
Havoc Staff for the scientists as always. Havoc Staff for He-Man. Havoc Staff for the writers for not even showing. So, like, I get it. It's a voice in his head. But sometimes they've shown in the very beginning, the very first episodes, they showed her a few times in some astral plane thing. They don't even show her here. They just have her voice. So, yeah. And no Power Swords. And not even, I mean, Skeletor, I guess. Yeah, I give the standard one. But just, I don't know. Just, no.
What are you feeling rating-wise for this one?
0.5
again. Is that 0.5?
Yep.
Yikes. So I was at last episode, I did 3 straight 3.5s.
Yeah.
And I said that it was because of the continuity and the story arc and some little extra nudge that I gave it. Okay, now you've taken that out, so I'm down to a 2.
Mm-hmm.
2 out of 5 here. And this is only because this is the first of the one-off episodes. If I were to get, how many episodes do we have left? Like 48 of them or something like that?
Yeah.
If I get 48 more one-offs, I'm going to be in the 0.5 range like you. So, they're just lucky this is the first since the big five-parter, so I had a little bit more leniency for it. So let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to try to escape from whatever the hell that planet's called.
Yep.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Next up, episode 17, Escape from Galosha. We're going to go with that. Air date around October 13th, 1990, written by Misty Taggart, a name that we have seen before. Plot synopsis: Skeletor abducts Kaz and Dreesy and brings them as bait for He-Man on the ship Galosha. I guess it's a ship, not a planet, my bad. He-Man appears on board and wants to rescue the children, but he notices that the ship is on collision course with a meteorite.
Didn't they call it a comet?
Asteroid, comet, meteorite.
Whatever. I'm just saying, I could have sworn they called it a comet, because the first thing that I thought of, the cosmic comet, and I'm like, where's that one dude that controls the damn things? Oh, wait, he's, you know, in the past, on wherever the hell.
What do you think?
I got
the kids and using them as a hostage, as a bait.
It's a standard rip-off Filmation episode. It's almost worse than Cousin Jeremy.
What the synopsis does not talk about, these synopses are horribly written.
Whoever yes, they them, are.
Be, never allowed to write again. But what this doesn't say is that the kids are basically drawn into this by a illusion of their mom.
That's right. Okay. So basically what this writer did or what this writer was told to do was, hey, remember that movie in 1987 when Evelyn appeared as Julie's mom to get her to go? Like, no, don't
exactly
do.
What happened? Yeah, appears to be their mom, mm-hmm. draws them to basically hijack a ship, mm-hmm. and go into space. So there's two kids that decide to hijack a ship, go into space because they heard something that sounds like their mom, and that is Skeletor trying to bring them into a trap. And that to get He-Man, etc. So, yeah, any other thoughts on the plot besides the rehash of the movie / one-off?
Nope, and I hope you have notes, because I got nothing.
Yeah, I do have a couple notes. Number one, it was an interesting plot as far as the Skeletor double-crossing vlog aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one point he's making it so that this ship and this meteorite are going to collide, and he's the only one escaping. Like, he's going to let this happen. It's going to destroy, you know, He-Man, etc., and it's also going to destroy Flog and his minions. So it's going to leave Skeletor as the last man standing. So I thought that was somewhat interesting. If the plot would have been more around centered around that than the whole kids thing, I might have been more favorable with this episode.
Yeah.
Also, at one point, Kaz and Dreesy are locked in some type of jail cell. Apparently, she has the ability to talk to animals and lizards like Beastman or She-Ra. She talks to this little lizard and gets the lizard to open up their cell. I do like the fact that they did somewhat make it a real animal where they just opened all the cells. So it opened not just hers, but it opened all the bad people's ones as well. So that made it a little bit more realistic because I don't otherwise buy the lizard being able to open any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if they were somehow going to be detailed oriented enough to just open one, that would have been bothersome to me. So that's really all I have besides the Snake Mountain of these kids. Kaz and Drissy aren't as annoying as like your guest kid.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's grading like a Cousin Jeremy or Edwina or yeah. somebody like that. Like, at least I can stomach these two, but it is still somewhat a kid-oriented episode, and it is still way too reminiscent of the 1987 movie. You can't copy something within your own franchise that blatantly.
Not that early, anyway. But yeah, like, but Kaz and Drissy, they are part of the main core. Like,
right.
like you're saying, they're not a Cousin Jeremy. They're not a Cousin Edwina. They're not the Star Child. They're not...
I guess the difference here is not just that they're not a guest kid, etc., but they're also not a part of the group, part of the main cast, etc., or recurring characters that is annoying to the point of like a T-Bob and
yeah. Like, Scott. Yeah.
Scott. Like, it could be like that, so I don't even find them that annoying.
Mm-mm, no.
They're
just characters that are there that exist to move the story along. They're decent. I like the characters. Yes, I had a few issues in previous episodes of the podcast with Kaz. Drissy, for the most part, is all right, but the reason why she's all right to me is because, like, they haven't really focused on her. They've had plots with her that, you know, oh, she might be, you know...
Do you know why she works better for me?
Mm.
Or why I'm able to stomach her more is because I like her way better than Mara. So I'd rather her be on screen than the weird, generic-looking Mara.
Mara seems to be Teela. Like, because she's always, what I've noticed is, where's Adam? Where'd he go? She's got the kind of Teela role.
She's like that without any individual personality, though.
Yeah, exactly. And Drissy is more of almost like a young version of Adora before she, like, what if we lived in a world where Hordak never kidnapped Adora and she actually got to grow up in the palace with her parents, like, that's the way I see Drissy, is what if, you know, Adora never went with never got kidnapped by Hordak.
I agree. And even though they're not as annoying as a lot of kid characters, that does not mean that they're free of getting a Havoc Staff in this one for me.
Yeah.
Because it is a terrible idea for them to follow this voice and to be that gullible and mm-hmm. to take a spaceship and try to helm it yourself or et cetera. Like, that's just a bad idea, so you get well, epic stabs.
They did take the robot, but it's still. A robot. But still, yeah. Go ahead.
And I just had one other hardware. I have a power sword for Skeletor. I'm going to join you because mm-hmm. I think it's great that he's finally going to try to double cross Flog and leave him in the dust.
Yeah, same here. Power sword for Skeletor. Havoc staff. I got to give it to the writer for the lame ass comet destroying planet plot. Like, seriously? Really? Like, we haven't had enough of that throughout the entirety of the 80s, the beginning of the 90s here. Like, what about a rating for you?
Still at 2.
I'm up to a 1, so it's better. It's not overall, better by much, but it's better.
The only reason it got a 2 for me was because of the Skeletor double-crossing
plot. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
On a 1. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, time for the last episode of today, He-Man and this mutant thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have here?
It's Castle Grayskull.
And it's mine.
Not so fast, Beastman.
He-Man!
You can pit He-Man against Beastman playing for the power of Castle Grayskull. You have to put the castle together.
Beastman's escaping.
The throne, Dad.
Dad, you saved the castle!
Castle Grayskull from the Masters of the Universe collection. He-Man and Beastman each sold separately from Mattel.
Alright, last up today is episode 18, He-Man Mutant. Air date around September 17th, 1990. Written by Francis Moss and Ted Peterson, a duo here. After Quake and Butthead?
Yes.
Captured? Was that really the name of a character?
Yes.
Okay, after Quake and Butthead are captured, He-Man discovers that the scientists of Primus have created a machine called the Mutator, which can change any human into a mutant. He-Man volunteers to become a mutant so that he can spy on Skeletor. But when he goes into the machine, he is changed not just in body, but in mind.
Okay, so first of all, first thing. Yay, a Filmation writer! Francis Moss! Hallelujah! Oh my god, it's about friggin' time! And get a good writer on these episodes. Yeah, Butthead, also, I mean, really seriously, at this point, Quake could be Beavis, really. I mean, Cornholio. Yep.
So first of all, why are the scientists of Primus creating a machine that can
change? Yeah.
Why is that something the good scientists are doing? They volunteers to become a mutant.
Mm-hmm.
And things go wrong, imagine that.
Yeah, that like that never happens.
First of all, I ain't trusting anything these scientists are doing.
Nope, I don't trust. I didn't trust them before this episode. I'm not going to surely trust them after this.
I don't care how smart they're supposed to be. They're bumbling idiots that fight with each other. So I'm not doing any of their things. Like I get it. Like it's the whole inventor, like it's Man at Arms inventing 1,000 things or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But why are they? I still don't understand why they're inventing something that will turn a human into a mutant. That sounds like something bad scientists would do.
Yep, pretty much.
Alright, I'm confused. Let's try to unpack this a little bit so you can make some more sense of it for me. Break down this episode for me. What did you like? What did you not like? What's the point? I don't understand.
There's nothing here that I did not like. It's probably my favorite episode of the series at this point. It's probably going to end up being my highest rated episode out of the previous 17 cartoons that we've talked about. It's definitely the best episode of today with the other two. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun seeing, regardless of the other guy's name, seeing Quake and Butthead or Beavis and Butthead being captured. You know, all of that. Seeing Skeletor do his thing. I liked that. What I liked about the mutation of He-Man here is that Master Sabrian comes in and says, but wait, he's not like us. Like, specifically pointing out that the humans of Primus in the future are different than He-Man because he is from the past. Like, they specifically pointed, if they hadn't pointed that out at all, this episode would get a much lower score and I would be way more negative about it. Love that we finally get other writers other than Olesker, and as I said before, hello, Francis Moss, Filmation writer, worked on tons of He-Man and She-Ra episodes, so this person knows what the hell they're doing. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun episode, and it's not like you said last week. You like that stuff actually happens to He-Man when, like, him getting injured by a laser blast or whatever. Look at what this does to him. How do you? I mean, I don't understand why you don't like this. If you don't, I'm just saying this completely. This basically turns him into a brute man from Thundercats. Really, I mean, really.
No, I get all that, and I don't mind the stuff that you're talking about. Like, those are all good things about the episode. My problem is I cannot get past the premise of this episode, which makes no sense. So it makes no sense that they have this machine. It makes no sense that they would try to do this. It makes no sense that He-Man would try to
to
be that. Outside of that, the actual execution is fine, and some of those things are good. I just don't... I'm not on board with why anything's happening.
Yeah.
So that's where my problem is. So, I mean, was there anything else specific that you liked or disliked about the episode?
No, because I have no Snake Mountain moments out of this one. Yeah, did you have any?
That pissed me off.
Yeah.
Outside of the premise.
So. Yeah.
All right. Havoc Staffs or Power Swords?
Power Swords, Skeletor, He-Man, and I believe the bird's name was Claw. I like Claw. I hope Claw makes, or whatever the bird's name is.
A reappearance.
Yeah, I like that. That was cool. Yeah.
I don't have any Power Swords or Havoc Staffs for this last episode, so I'm going to save them for later. Because, like I said, nothing really stood out except for it was a weird plot premise executed decently. And I do like seeing He-Man in that state that he was. But, like I said, nothing that stood out to a point where I need to reward anybody. So,
yeah.
A lot of rating. You said this was going to be the highest one.
Let's go with yours first, because I want you to be shocked by mine.
I was at 2 for the last 2. I'm going to go slightly up to 2.5. So I'm at 2.5 just because, like I said, it makes no sense why this story is happening.
4, hands down. This is the best one. This is the best one out of the previous 17 or 18 episodes of this series to this point. This might be my favorite episode of the entire, I don't know, but at least to this point, this is my favorite because we have so much going. Yeah, you're right. The plot doesn't really make sense as to why the scientists would build that shit, but because they did, we actually get amazing storytelling on the part of He-Man and his character and explaining that he is not from their time and he is not from their galaxy. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, how his biology and physiology is different than the people of Primus.
Stop the presses. TFG and Mike giving the new adventures of He-Man a positive.
I know, right?
Four. He doesn't hate everything, guys. He liked this one.
Yep.
Good. All right, let's take a break and wrap this one up.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
So yeah, episode 88. Turns out I can be positive, folks.
I'm still speechless.
Yeah, good. Nobody wants to hear you talk. I'm surprised people are even still listening to this show because of either one of us.
I'll be speechless for the next 20 episodes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this last episode was fun. I'm still dreading having to watch this show because I just don't know what to, like I said in episode 83, as I said earlier last week in last week's episode, I watched maybe 5 episodes of this cartoon back in the 90s and that was it. Cause, hello, # not my He-Man, # not my Skeletor. Any final thoughts before I close it?
Only 19 episodes left.
Thank you for listening to the Masters in Space today. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. There are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Please do this. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this as well. Follow us on Twitter. At geekcastradio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
@OptimusSolo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Tales in Space today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of The New Adventures of He-Man, those being Episode 19, Juggernaut. Are the X-Men going to show up? Hello.
Now we're with Juggernaut.
Yeah, true. Episode 20, Fading Star, and Episode 21, Skeletor's Revenge. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
This series is a fading star, Optimus Prime.
Yes, it is, very much so. I mean, at this point, this series is a lucky star, and we're going to close out with a Madonna song, folks. That's better than this shit.